Wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 74, first episode of April. We just crossed into April, and as you can hear, my voice is not 100% right now, but we're off for 2 weeks. Had a little mini hiatus because of, I blame Fat Mike, because of Punk and Drublic festivals. That's what kept us out of the studio for 2 weeks there. And honestly, I've just been going hard at the shows, and my voice is suffering because of it. And we're going to get into a lot of those show recaps. I'm going to do as much as I can, and I'm going to go as long as I can, and because hopefully my voice doesn't fully give out today. We'll see. But it's, as you can tell, it is not there. This is not how my voice usually sounds. Sound a little bit like Rev from The Drowns right now. Not nearly as cool as that, but closer than usual, I guess you could say. So that being said, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. You're going to find our official Facebook page right there. And of course, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. Head over, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. You just got to remember that slash go tell it to the wall for those ones. But then, of course, there is my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. And actually, there's quite a few pictures, and especially if you go through like my tag stuff, you're going to see a ton of photos from the past few weeks, past 3 weeks, really. I think this past weekend's photos are still migrating their way onto everything, but a lot of show photos up there, so definitely make sure you follow me on the Instagram. And of course, if you remember nothing else, remember SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That is your one-stop shop for everything that is Go Tell It to the Wall, Common Sense Sundays, and Sean O'Rourke Live, and you're going to find links to all those things I just mentioned. So if you don't want to remember the URLs, not because I know they're very difficult to remember, but if you don't want to, just go to SeanO'RourkeLive.com and you can click on all the things at the top, find the Instagram, the YouTube, the Facebook. There might even still be a Twitter up there. We just don't use a damn Twitter. So follow that too if you want. I don't even remember. Oh, wait. It's on the wall. I should put a different social link up there. I always forget. Sean O'Rourke Live is literally on the wall behind me, so you can read it. You don't even have to remember it, just if you're watching. Then again, if you're listening, you're not. Wall fans, I am not at 100% today. But it's all going to be worth it because we got some good stuff to get into. And of course, also on Sean O'Rourke Live, you're going to find a link to our Patreon. Please help us out if you have the means to do so. Every little bit helps. And if you don't want to do that, you can also support us by picking up some merch. You can link directly to the merch website from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. So check out the merch up there. All kinds of common sense merch. And like I said, we're back at it this week. I am just not 100%. It's funny. I'm going to... I've actually got a couple injuries. Here's the thing. Adrenaline takes over, but I'm just getting a little old for hitting it as hard as we did the past few weeks, and it wasn't even like a bunch of drinking. It's just jumping and dancing and singing, and my hip hurts, my back hurts, everything's a little bit sore, but feeling great despite all the soreness. All right, but before we get into all that show stuff and recaps and stuff, we're going to talk about some digital trends happening around the social platforms over the past week or so. And I didn't go that deep. I know there's lots of stuff we missed. And I'm only going to glaze over the one thing that I know. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people out there are probably like, ooh, Sean's going to go out. I'm not even touching that thing. I don't watch the Oscars. I'm not even touching a thing. But one hashtag that's trending has been for the past couple days is, of course, and this one trends now and then, but it's like you cannot escape it. It's hashtag Trump cult. Trump cult, because there was another rally in Michigan where Trump's doing his bullshit stuff, and there's all kinds of false info that's coming out. So that's why we see these hashtag Trump cult hashtags pop up because people, they like to point out the false information and anything. Like, really, you can't, if you really went and did some fact checking, there's not a lot of truth that comes out of the orange one's mouth. But it actually spawned another trending topic on Twitter. And this one, I was like, what, why is this trending? And then I found this really hilarious. So Bin Laden was trending, has been trending for the past day or so. And apparently at this rally in Michigan, there is a representative, a congressperson from Michigan, who's, of course, Republican, because, you know, they were at the Trump rally, who went on stage in front of a bunch of people, and I'm sure, I don't think it was televised, but streaming somewhere, and said that Trump was the one who captured Osama bin Laden. We're getting used to the false information, but it's just getting so ridiculous. For those of you that don't know, Osama bin Laden was captured and killed during Obama's first term. Not even Obama's second term. This was during his first term, if I remember correctly. The Orange Menace was still hosting a reality show. He wasn't even a politician of any kind, so he had nothing to do with anything that was leading up to capturing Osama bin Laden. But you know that his base just ate it. They're like, yeah, he got bin. It's like, what? What are you talking about here? So of course that's trending everywhere, and it's just it's mind-boggling that people that is not even, you know, like. I had to think about the year myself, and that's why I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was Obama's first term, not even his second term. But either way, I immediately knew, like, oh, no, this Trump wasn't even a politician at the time. We know this. Like, it's common knowledge, you know? I mean, my five-year-old doesn't know, but she's five. So I, you know, I don't expect her to know those things, but I would expect any adult American to know this and at least question it instead of just eating it up the way that base does. It's really, really astounding. Like, how much lower can you go? What else are we going to say? I'm just waiting until, like, Trump it created the moon, and it's like, oh, and his base thing, yeah, moon. Good Lord. All right, here we have a fun one. Hashtag renew our flag means death. For those of you that are not familiar with the show, it's an HBO Max show. Our Flag Means Death. It's very what we do in the shadows. It's very, you know, it's a satirical pirate show. It's pretty good. It's I wouldn't put it up there as high as like What We Do in the Shadows for me personally, but I know people love it. People have been obsessed with it. I see everybody posting about it. You know, so like I said, I like it. I don't love it like everyone else does. It's entertaining. My wife loves it. We've watched a bunch of it, but it hasn't been renewed for a second season yet. And this has to, it's blowing up because everybody loves the show apparently. And you know, it's always, I'm shocked sometimes at how rare it is for these hashtags to actually, you know, make a huge difference. And in this instance, it seems like, why are we not doing a second? It's so popular. And this feels like one of those ones where HBO, and maybe they were already planning on it, you know, HBO Max, and planning on doing another season. But now I would imagine this is going to push them that way because the ratings seem to be off the charts. Then again, when everyone realizes how great the ratings are, pretty much everybody involved in the production of whatever it might be, a, you know, show, movie, where they want to do a sequel, they all want a little pay raise. So I'm sure there's some of that going in. But we'll see. Share that hashtag if you're a fan of Our Flag Means Death. And then, of course, today is April 3rd. So Friday was April 1st. The worst day of the year. I got to be honest. I cannot stand April Fool stuff. I don't like April 1st, and it's so much worse nowadays with social media. You already can't believe anything on social media to begin with, and when April 1st rolls around, I don't even look. It's just utterly ridiculous. In fact, there was one that I saw, and the funny thing is, it popped up late from it popped up like today for me, so I went, no, and it was actually believable. And it was, oh, Blink-182 is going to go to a four-piece band, and that idiot Machine Gun Kelly is joining. That seems ridiculous, but the dude is working with Travis Barker, so it wasn't that out of left field, you know? And if I'd seen it on Friday, I would have immediately known, but it popped up later, and I went, you got to be kidding me. And sure enough, like 2 minutes in, I went, oh, I'm seeing this from a couple days ago. I can't stand it. You know, if you enjoy it, do, like, that's fine. But it's absolutely ridiculous. And what I will say, there's certain things that are just utterly uncalled for. Like, people like to announce that they're pregnant when they're not pregnant. That's not something to joke about. You probably have friends that are trying to get pregnant somewhere, family or whatever, or friends and family that have lost a pregnancy. That's not something to joke about. No humor behind that whatsoever. And I, like I said, I can't stand the rest of it. So thank God we're done with that for this year. Until next year, when they come up with more dumb things to post on all the social platforms. And then, of course, I'm going to skim over it. All the slap memes from the past week. Good Lord. And you know here, Wall fans, common sense says, let's not beat these things to death. Beat them into the ground. It took a day to beat the hell out of that, the slap memes and all the stuff floating around. It was like, okay, I get it. I get it. Yes, a thing happened. Why do we care this much? Like, who cares? Like, seriously. I have nothing else to say on that whole situation. I don't watch the Oscars. I don't care. Everybody else has to wait. I don't care. No, I don't. All right, some COVID updates. I'm going to be drinking a lot of water throughout this episode, more than usual, because, like I said, it's not there. I'm hopeful to have it back by next Sunday, and luckily there's only one show between one show between today's show and then next week's episode, so I've only got one concert between episodes, so hopefully that'll help a little bit. All right, COVID updates, like I said. There was a man in Germany who was caught, I can't help but laugh at this. He was caught having gotten a COVID vaccine 90 times, actually got the vaccine shot, 90 of them, 90 shots. And I mean, I have some friends that did not do well with the side effects of the shot, and I was like, oh, I have some friends that would have killed them. They would have died, just bloop, dead. 90 shots, and the reason he did it is he wanted to sell forged vaccination cards. And you could say, well, why does he need to get the actual shot to sell the forged vaccination cards? Because he wanted accurate, like, batch numbers on them. If you look at your vaccine card, it has, I can't remember. I never look at mine too closely. I just have it. I have it digitally on my phone. But it has, like, numbers so that it tracks which kind of batch of vaccine you got, what type of vaccine. And so because of that, he went and got 90 of those to sell them and then got caught. So good job, buddy. Is it worth it? Just get the. I'm going to stop saying it because we're a year into having a vaccine. If you're not getting a vaccine, or if you didn't get a vaccine yet, you're not getting one. Unless you're a kid or you weren't eligible yet, then maybe. But I'm not convincing anybody at this point. All right. The interesting thing, though, and I don't want to get too in-depth into this because I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it. There's been some studies, and I would encourage you to check this out yourselves if you're interested, on people who haven't gotten COVID after 2 years of COVID. And they're saying that potentially half of Americans have not gotten any kind of COVID after 2 years of it being around. And they're saying that some studies are showing that certain people might actually be immune to the coronavirus, to COVID. Now, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to sit here and give you medical information. I would encourage you, if you're interested in that, to go look into that. Now, don't go read that. Think that you're immune to it and don't get vaccinated. That's not the point. The point is, it's just interesting. Now, I'm one of those people that had, as far as I know, I have not gotten COVID, nor has my wife or my daughter. Now, who knows if I had it early on when, you know, and thought it was a cold. Who knows? I don't know for sure, but I found that very interesting because I'm one of those people that has not tested positive for COVID after more than 2 years. And my daughter gets tested weekly still at school. I always joke because I do the tests now and then, but usually I'm like, okay, if she's got a negative test, I'm good because she's all up in my face all the time. That's what five-year-olds do. They're all up in your business. And no getting rid of them. You want to get rid of them anyway, but you get my drift. Like, literally the other day, this should be in parenting, but literally the other day, she's, like, jumping on me, and I'd be like, I love you, kid. Please give me a second. I'm like, just let me have a breather for 2 minutes, and then you can go back to jumping all over me. That's parenting. All right, masks. Pretty much all the mask mandates are gone. We're just down to public transportation where you have to wear a mask. But I did find it interesting, and I'm going to get into recapping my Arizona trip, at least the concert, Punk and Drublic part of it. But it was interesting on the Arizona road trip as we got, and it wasn't even in Arizona. It's as you get out to like East California, there's definitely some people, you get the looks. It was like when I was on my road trip to Florida there, you know, cross country road trip, depending where you are, you're getting some looks for wearing a mask. And here's the thing. Yes, they're not required anymore. But does it bother you? Like, why are you giving people weird looks? If people want to wear masks, let them wear masks. I mean, this is very common in Asia year-round. And before COVID, that's what they, if someone was sick or they were worried about getting sick, they would wear a mask. Funky looks. And in fact, went into a bar in Gilbert, Arizona, which is a hip little town right there. And coincidentally, I'd been there a few years ago, stayed at an Airbnb for my good buddy's wedding. And so I kind of knew some of the places around there. But we go into this bar, me and my sis, we're walking in, and I had my mask on to walk in. And the lady checking IDs is like, take that mask off. I'm like, oh, sorry. And I thought she wanted to, like, look at my face because she's looking at my ID. I'm like, okay, do I really look? Either way. And then she just, like, I went to put it back, and she gave me the dirtiest look. And she's like, I was going, what? How is my mask affecting you? You're just being a bitch about it. Like, let's call it what it is. You're being a bitch. That's all it is. We've politicized this. I'm doing my fucking thing. You do your fucking thing. Done. Yeah, now you don't have to wear a mask. You're not required. Congratulations. Being in a different world. But it's great. I mean, my kids' school, they're not requiring masks at the schools here in Los Angeles anymore. But I've noticed all the teachers still wearing masks, and most of the kids still wearing masks inside. But then you go to other places, and not so much of that. But then it's funny because the punks, you go to Punk and Trouble, people are wearing masks. And it's outside. They're wearing masks when they're like up in each other's faces and everything. But punks get it. It's a much better community. Much more compassionate community than a lot of communities out there. I not to look down on. But that bouncer, yeah, I'm looking down on that bouncer. Not even a bouncer. It's like checking my ID. Like, calm down. Calm yourself. All right, this one's interesting and maybe not super interesting for a lot of you. So NBA playoffs are coming up. And we have in the U.S., we've gotten rid of most mandates. And in fact, they talked about Kyrie Irving and how he couldn't play at home. He can actually play now at home. However, there is a National Basketball Association team in Canada where they still have a lot of mandates. And in order to play basketball, play against the professional team, the Toronto Raptors in Canada, everybody has to be vaccinated. So this is fascinating because what's going to happen is they're going to make the playoffs, the one Canadian basketball team, and there's a couple other teams that are not fully vaccinated that may end up having to play in Toronto, and they will not be able to play. So it's this interesting shuffle of team, like, is this team trying to avoid being in that spot? And there's a lot of talk of, because there's plenty of teams that are 100% vaccinated. Like the local, I think both local teams here are 100% vaccinated. I know the Lakers are. So you have a lot of that, but there's a few, and it's the guessing game of like, all right, which one of you is it? In fact, the Boston Celtics team, there's at least one person on that team. We don't know who, because they don't come out and say it like Kyrie Irving did, but it's this fun, like, the cup game. We're like, do, who is it that's not vaccinated? And maybe we'll find out, because they won't be able to play in Canada. Just get the damn shot. Oh, and then this one. Driving down Orange County yesterday. One of those, the changing digital billboards and anti-mandate rally and blah, blah, date and time and down in Orange County. And I'm like, I'm in the car with multiple people and we're all like, what mandate are you protesting? We got rid of all of them, like all of them. Except I think the only one left is public transportation. What are you protesting? And I immediately yesterday I said it too, because I've seen more, they're still happening. Like, they kept the trucker thing going, and, like, it's like, there's no more mask mandates where you're doing this, guys. You know, California was one of the last. Like, now that, what's going on here? And what it is glutton for punishment is not the right thing. It's almost like a masochist. I feel like there's so many masochists on that side that they just need an excuse to complain and act like they are, persecuted in some way. Like, been doing this for 2 years, you fools. 2 years! You want to talk about persecution? Look everywhere else but your own house, most likely. Everywhere. Give it a rest. But yeah, we're still doing anti-mandate rallies. So they're going to need to find something new to pretend persecuted about. So we'll see what that next thing is. And I'm sure the orange one will come up with something, or Q is going to tell them there's something going on, you know, or orgies and cocaine in Congress. Maybe that'll be the next thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, mental health. I don't have a lot this week, and mainly I'm trying to burn through a lot of this stuff so we can talk, and I don't even know if I'll get through all the show recaps, so some of those might get pushed to another episode. So I don't have a ton this week, but I did want to talk about, and I was actually really feeling this myself lately, after 2 years actually finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I say that, there is still a variant that has made its way to the U.S., so we'll see. We may end up having to bring back certain mandates and stuff, but right now it actually finally feels like we're seeing what could be the end. It's just been up and down for everyone for 2 years. So I think, at least for me, and I know for probably for many others, you're finally feeling that weight lifting a little bit. You know, we had little fake outs of it, you know, like end of summer, it was like, oh, we're doing good. And then boom, Delta. Holidays, we're doing good. Boom, Omicron. This one feels a little different. So we'll see what happens. And it's starting to feel more positive. At least for me, and I know I've talked to people that are actually feeling a little more normal and feeling like we're moving back to normalcy. For me, it's been going to shows and concerts. And each time, you know, and like the past couple weeks was by no means my first shows even of this year, let alone like when I was going in the fall and recapping all those shows. But each time it feels a little more normal, a little more relaxed, a little more comfortable, which is interesting. Because I think back to 2 years ago, right? Like right now, 2 years ago, I was leaving my house. I wasn't leaving my property. I'm like, no, stay in here. This is where I am for now, you know? So it's slowly moving toward normal, and I think that's going to have a positive effect on most people's mental health. And what I will say is, and this is the important thing I want to say, and this is what I've been feeling lately, is I want to challenge everyone out there to take some time for yourself. Even if you don't have mental health problems or mental illness, take some time and move at your own speed. Don't just go, you know, don't go jump into the pool, jump into a crowd of people, whatever it might be. But find something that kind of makes you happy and gives you a little bit of joy, you know, things that you enjoy that maybe you are avoiding more and more. For me, it's been live music, you know, and so whatever it might be for you, get out there, get the blood flowing, you know, get lost in the moment. It's never going to fix everything. But I think we're all hitting a point where everybody needs that, whatever it is that you derive joy from. I challenge you all to maybe take some time for that for you. Even if be selfish about it. You know? I mean, don't leave your kids like home alone or something if you can't, but be a little selfish. A little self-care. What's Aziz? Treat yourself. Now I'm quoting Parks and Rec here. But you get what I'm saying. We all need to, whether moving at our own pace, but getting to finding our kind of joy again, finding our baseline. Because for the past 2 years, we haven't really had that normal baseline that most people have. And I think, I mean, knock on wood, I think we're going to get back to it hopefully sooner than later. And I finally, after 2 years, feel very positive. You know, and there's always those moments, but I feel very positive from a mental standpoint, at least for me personally, as far as moving forward and kind of getting back to what we'd call, you know, finger quotes, normal. Life, and that, you know, it's different for everybody, but it's definitely, the weight is lifting for me personally. And if it isn't for you, you know, you go at your own pace, but take some time to kind of let that wash over you, I guess, for lack of a better word. All right, let's talk some positive news. This is a funky one, and this one's just for me personally, and maybe if you live in Los Angeles, it is for you too. I'm not a huge basketball fan. You know, I watch sports. The big reason I enjoy sports is it's actual true reality television. It's also just something easy to have on, like in the background. You know, you don't have to fully pay attention to it. I watch certain shows where I can't. You know, and I see that there's a couple memes going around that are like, don't tell me about the greatest show that's around right now. Tell me about a show that I can watch and follow while I'm staring at my phone on the couch. And it's like, yeah, that's. You need those shows too. That's sports for me. But basketball, National Basketball Association. We have two teams here in Los Angeles, but it's not divided the way a lot of other cities are. It is definitely more of a Lakers town. And my positive news is we are less than a week away from the end of the NBA season. And the reason that is positive news is this city, Los Angeles, is so rabid for the Lakers. And they have just had a horrendous horrendous basketball season. To the point where it's like a roller coaster listening to, and I don't even follow that closely, but I'll listen to talk radio. And it's like Lakers. I'll go on social platforms, Lakers, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. I am so ready to not hear about the Lakers for a little while. Like, I'm done with it. And I'm not even a fan. But it's just, it's in your face. This is the Lakers. It's the Lakers and Dodgers town, but baseball season hasn't started yet. And Dodgers are a little easier. It's just something about those Lakers fans, man. And it's nothing against the Lakers fans. It's just, I just don't want to hear it anymore. Like, they cannot win a game to save their lives. We're finally hitting the end, but for months, it was like, they're not winning games, guys. They're not, oh, no, wait until playoffs. Can we stop this now, please? I'm done. No more basketball. So that's my positive news for this week. And also, like I said, feels like we're moving toward a positive part. And like my daughter's school, I'm moving into parenting, didn't even have this on there. They have had zero positive tests for weeks now, which is great to hear. No, it's not. You know, I kind of use that as a thermometer for the situation, I guess you could say. And they've had none of them. And kids are crazy. You know, that's what we always joked of. I was talking to someone the other day, and it's like, yeah, you know, your kid, one kid has a Spider-Man mask, and one kid's got a Batman mask, and they're like, hey, you want to trade masks? And it's like, you know, that's how kids are. But we're doing well on that front. And like I said, let's get into some parenting. Man, I'll see how long my voice lasts. Oh. It was that dry Arizona weather, too. That's what started a couple weeks ago. I don't do well in humidity, and I don't do well in extreme dry heat. I need them. That's why I live in California, Southern California. All right, so parenting, like I said, this was full dad mode for me last weekend. I'd come back from Arizona, and then I had to throw together a birthday brunch for my wife. She didn't want to do anything but her birthday. So happy birthday to my amazing wife. Had to throw that together on Saturday. Then Saturday night, we went to see Daniel Tiger live at the Orpheum Theater here in Los Angeles. And then that's punk rock dad life, because the next morning I went out to Ventura for Punk and Drublick, which we're going to talk about shortly. But this Daniel Tiger live was amazing. I highly recommend, whether it's Daniel Tiger or something else, taking your kids to see something live that they absolutely love. My kid loved, you know, she's aging out of it a bit, but loves Daniel Tiger. And it was an absolute trip to see the joy on not just my kid's faces, my friend's kids' faces, but also the way that it was like a concert for kids, the way that we go to concerts. And in fact, I'm sitting in the upper part, you know, of the Orpheum Theater there, and I look down on one of the balconies, and there is this little girl, must have been like 3 years old, and she is pumping her fist and dancing and like heads going all around. She, time of her life. It was amazing. And my kid had all the fun as well. And the good thing of this being at the Orpheum is I got to enjoy a little beverage, a little beer there while we're watching the show, which is always good. Not necessary, but it's good to, you know, get a little beverage in there while you're watching people jump around in multiple costumes and sing all the Daniel Tiger songs that, of course, you know, because you've watched all the Daniel Tigers with your kid. At least I have, you know. I'm sure most parents, they know all these songs. And I can see parents singing along, too. You know, they're getting their kids. It's quite the family experience. Although one of the favorite things, that they had merch afterward, which was awesome because it was totally like a concert merch setup and like T-shirts and hoodies and a bunch of different things. I look over and there's a guy with like full sleeves of tattoos. And I could tell, I was like, he's totally a merch guy, but not like a kid merch guy. And sure enough, when my wife was up there getting some merch for the kids, she was like, man, you got a lot of patience for the kids or something like, or whatever it was. And she's like, ah, you're a big Daniel Tiger, jokingly. And he's like, you know, so you could tell he's a full-time like merch guy, probably maybe works at the Orpheum there, but they usually have other kinds of concerts, not a lot of Daniel Tiger concerts coming through there. So highly recommend if you can catch Daniel Tiger live coming through your city. Oh, it's easy. It was cheap. Take the kids. All right. Oh, boy. Hang on. See if I can edit out that cough. Probably not. You're all going to hear it. Sorry. Voice not here. All right. School fundraisers. I want to talk about this briefly. It's something that kind of has been bothering me lately. And with my kids' school, we did a fall fundraiser and had to sell a bunch of cheesecakes and cookie, a bunch of junk. I think I've still got some in my freezer because we bought, frozen cookie dough. It's fine. I like to support the school. I'm all for that. You know, and then we had Girl Scout cookies. I had to do that. So I'm hitting up friends and family for Girl Scout. And sure enough, a week after Girl Scout cookies ends, the school's like, oh, spring fundraiser. And I'm like, okay, fine. Let's do another freaking fundraiser. I don't mind supporting the school. Here's the thing that gets me, and what I really don't like about these school fundraisers is they go in there and they get the kids all hyped up, and then they show them all these silly little prizes that they can get for selling a bunch of whatever the fundraiser is, you know? And you might think, well, it's harmless. Get the kids excited. Here's the thing. Not every kid at that school is going to be able to sell all of that. And then they're going to feel left out because other kids are getting all these prizes and they're not getting the prizes. The kids get the prizes right in front of each other. This has been this way forever. I remember when I was in elementary school and that's how it was. You know, and I was a maniac at fundraisers, so I got myself a lot of prizes, to be honest. But that's how it is. And then, sure enough, my kid, she's like, I got to get all the prizes. Here's the thing. I would rather just give money to the school. And that's the thing, is you look at these prizes, you're not getting a TV or a car or anything. It's a bunch of $2 tchotchkes that you buy, from a party supply store. It's nothing. So I'd much rather just give the school money and then I'll spend $15 on Amazon and get my kid this stuff instead of hounding my friends and family. Hey, and I can't even, we were selling popcorn or some, popcorn and candy. It's junk food too. It's nothing but junk food. All my friends and family are going to get they're going to have sugar, constant sugar rush because I'm selling them so much, my kid's selling them so much stuff full of sugar. Can we not overhype the kids? Kids are going to feel left out and kids are going to insist on, and it's like, here's money. Please don't make me shill to all my friends and family again. Let's just call it a day. Man, I don't know how other parents out there feel, but that one was getting me lately. Cause it's like, gotta have the, no, you don't. You have toys that are 10 times nicer than these silly little prizes that you're getting. Forget about it. All right, one more here. This one got me. I'm watching that Abbott Elementary that I've talked briefly about a little bit. It's a good show. I can't get over how much they're trying to be The Office, but either way, I enjoy the show. However, I watched an episode recently, and you know how we are here at Go Tell It to the Wall fans. I'm not a fan of the challenges, all these TikTok, TikTok challenges, Twitter challenges, all the... It's been bread and butter for Go Tell It to the Wall. I mean, back in the Tide Pod Challenge and those ridiculous ones that were so off the wall. It was Abbott Elementary episode. They had something. It was a TikTok challenge, and it was desk running. And it was students running across the tops of desks in the classrooms. And I went, wait, is this a real challenge? From what I could find, it's not a challenge that existed. So now we have the producers of an ABC, writers and producers of an ABC sitcom, ABC, pretty big network, Abbott Elementary is a primetime sitcom, showing kids new challenges to do. Here's the other funny thing, it doesn't seem to be a challenge that exists. They wrote this in there. I get it. But let's not inspire kids to do dumb things like that. Don't create challenges for the people that are doing these things. Let's let them figure it out on their own. I also don't want my kid running around on desks in a classroom. That's a way to break a bone. But it did. I did start laughing, I got to be honest, because it's actually happened to me in 7th or 8th grade. We're coming into the classroom, and one of my classmates gets up, and we had the big desks. And that's what's funny, too, is I'm saying to my wife, I'm like, certain desks you cannot do that with. The little tiny desks most people had in high school, where it's just a chair and a table, and it's kind of slanted, You're immediately going to go down. You can't run across those. But we had the big desks, and tons of room for books, flat desks. And this classmate of mine gets up, starts running across the desks, literally running across the desks. And sure enough, teacher walks in. He's doing it for 30 seconds. Teacher walks in and catches him running across the desks and just gives him. Still to this day, I can see the look she gave him. Just the look of utter rage and disdain for the fact that he started running across desks. Do not do that, kids. That is not a smart thing to do. But maybe let's, like I said, let's not put ideas in people's heads. It's challenges. Jeez. All right, let's talk some common sense. Oh, I think we are. I think the voice is going to make it through today. I feel like I'm going a mile a minute, but a lot to get into here. All right, some common sense, like I said. So this is actually part of my Arizona trip recap, I guess you could say. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never used hot wire, don't ever use hot wire. So I went to book a room for Arizona, and Hotwire is one of those sites, so it's very cheap, you know, and rooms were at a premium for that weekend, because not only was there a big festival going on, but spring training was gearing up to start. So I just found like a Motel 6. I'm like, all right, just book it, you know, two nights, done. I'm done with, it's booked, we're good. And here's the thing with Hotwire is they charge you in advance, so you pay for the room. So we're on a six-hour drive out to Arizona. First of all, we pull into a Motel 6, and we're like, well, this has to be it. It's right here. And we stand there away from it. They're like, no, you want the other one a block down. It's like, you really have two Motel 6s a block apart, literally a block apart. So I'm like, okay. So we go over there, wait for a few minutes. I go in and then try to look it up, and they're like, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have anything? Like, here's my Hotwire, like, book. And I even had, the woman at the front desk is like, nope, can't, I need to see, like, your name in here and stuff. And literally, she's like, man, you're kind of SOL. You got to go call Hotwire. So I call Hotwire. They have it. But apparently, they didn't get the correct information to the Motel 6. So here, I've paid, you know. And of course, they say to me, we're fully booked. Like, what do you, yeah, I have a reservation. I made this reservation a week and a half ago. What are we doing here, guys? And Hotwire was just kind of like, nope, sorry. We can try to book you another room. So I was like, see if you can get me another room somewhere. Sitting on hold for a few minutes, they come back and they're like, well, we're still looking. I said, that's enough. And by this point, my sis is looking at, she booked, literally, she's like, no, we're just going to go over there. Another hotel. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It ended up in a nicer hotel, to be fair, but ended up having to spend a little more. And Hotwire was zero help. And that's the one I love the most, because I'm like, we just drove 6 hours, and here I am in a different state, and I don't have a hotel room because you screwed something up. And the guy on the other end had the audacity to be like, I understand how you feel, sir. And I was like, no, you don't. You do not understand how I feel, because you're not sitting outside of a hotel in a different state with no hotel room. It all worked out in the end, but I highly recommend avoiding Hotwire at all costs, because they were just completely useless. I did get my money refunded, but, you know, because they knew better than to keep my money without giving me a hotel room. Avoid Hotwire. Common sense says you take care of your customers and maybe actually put in the goddamn reservation. All right, there's I think he's a country singer. I don't really know. I'm not familiar with all of the country singers and stuff. But there's a guy named Eric Church. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He had a sold-out concert that was supposed to happen yesterday, April 2nd, in San Antonio. Sold out. Like a week before, he decided to cancel that concert in order to go to a college basketball game because he is a big fan of North Carolina and wanted to see them play in the Final Four. Canceled a sold-out concert like a week before. It's like, people were up in arms. Understandably so. I don't know who Eric Church is, but regardless, it seems like it was a big show, and I'm sure it sounded like people were also traveling. So you've just left everyone, stuck everyone with maybe hotel rooms, flights, other things. I'm great. I'm sure the tickets were refunded, but just because you wanted to watch a damn basketball game? Here's the thing. This is your job. Sure, it's your choice, but that is the best way to lose fans, is be like, you know what? Me watching a college basketball game is more important than taking care of my fans at this concert that was sold out and scheduled. And so not so good on you there, Eric Church. Again, I still don't know what he does, but that blew my mind. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're not playing in the game. You don't have a kid playing in the game. Like, why? So silly to me. Just utter disrespect for your own fans. So we'll see if he sells out any more concerts moving forward. He probably will. People have short-term memory when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm confident most of the bands and musicians I go to see would not do that. You know, they might cancel for a real reason. But in fact, We have a band, Guttermouth is playing here in Orange County tonight. Their U-Haul was broken into last night, and a bunch of their guitars and basses were stolen. And they're still playing the show tonight. A bunch of their gear was stolen. What happened was some other musicians, one of them, Eric, from Jughead's Revenge and Fourth in Line, he actually lent out a bass to the band, his whole setup. And I'm sure some other musicians did. They're still going to play a show. See, now that would be a valid reason. You're like, we literally don't have the gear to play the show. But no, they're like, we're still doing it. This sucks. Help us find our gear. And if you are in the Southern California area, check out Lagwagon's post. And with specific, like, I don't know that kind of gear that well. But they, like, literally, they're like, this kind of guitar, this kind of bass, this kind of cabinet, this kind of amp. Like, so if you see that stuff popping up for sale or someone trying to sell it to you, let Lagwagon know. Or, yes, Lagwagon. Always do that. All right. It's so shitty when people steal instruments. This wasn't even in my rundown here, but so, like, these musicians aren't making a ton of money anyway. And then you take away, like, of all the things to steal, you're taking away their livelihood, and then you're possibly taking a show away from a bunch of people. I mean, you shouldn't steal anything, but geez, that's just the worst. The worst. Go steal from Jeff Bezos. Not musicians that are touring, bringing their music to people. Come on now. All right, this is one of my favorites. And one more common sense, we're going to get into some entertainment news. Disney in Florida. Oh, we've been talking about this. And Chapek, that stupid ass. It's so funny, you know. Finally starts talking about it after the bills pass. Like, no, don't try to have compassion now. But, you know, they are saying, and they're pushing back on it a little bit. But here's what cracks me up about this, and here's where the common sense comes in. DeSantis has been calling for everybody, not just in Florida, but around the country, to boycott Disney. Cancel your Disney Plus accounts. Don't go to the parks there. Like, yeah, no, this is what he's saying. Can you imagine? Like, nobody, what... You're just going to stop people from going to Disney World? Good luck with that. It's hard to even get a reservation. Good luck trying to boycott Disney. And it's definitely not a battle that they can win. And you're going to push Disney out of the state of Florida? It's a lot of money that's going into the state because Disney is there. So it's going to be interesting to follow. I'm happy I don't work for Disney anymore because... the hypocrisy is astounding. I guarantee there's a executive management there that's like, no, we actually like this law. And that's why they dragged their feet until it actually passed. Unbelievable. All right, we got a little time left. Let's see how much entertainment news we can get through. And I have a feeling what's going to happen is, because I'm just all over the place right now, we're probably going to do a little more recapping of the past few weeks as I remember things over the next few episodes, because... it was in Arizona, I was getting home from Arizona 2 weeks ago, so it's not as fresh as you would expect. I'm getting old. So sometimes it's a bit of a blur. Before we get into that, Grammys are tonight, the Grammys. I won't watch it all. It's not for me. You know, and I get it if you want to watch the Grammys. I mean, my neighbor is up for one of the big Grammys tonight, whatever it is, because I live in the same neighborhood as Billie Eilish. But it's not for me. It's not my type of music, and that's the thing. And in fact, I saw today Machine Gun Kelly's album is like number one on one of the Billboard charts, and someone had posted and they were like, that's why I don't pay attention to the Billboard charts. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. I pay attention to my own music. So if you're into the Grammys, enjoy that tonight. I will not be watching. And of course, this is not new, but I have to take a moment to say rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins. The amazing drummer from the Foo Fighters, gone way too young. Wife and children, 50 years old. And I'll tell you, I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan. I do like Foo Fighters. I own quite a few of their albums. But man, those music videos in the 90s, I think if you're of a certain age, those left an imprint on you, regardless of how big a fan of the Foo Fighters you are. I respect the Foo Fighters. I like them. I just don't listen to them a ton. I mean, Dave Grohl is like the ultimate rock star, in my opinion, I got to say. But really sad to see that. I know he left a lot of people behind. Pennywise was dedicating Bro Him to Taylor Hawkins. A lot of bands I was seeing after that happened were dedicating songs to Taylor Hawkins. Deservedly so. So gone way too young. But unfortunately, we will not, I feel like we see less and less of this. I remember when I was younger, it was like a musician or a rock star would die suddenly and it was just like normal. But I think we're hitting a point where, whether it's mental illness and people can get help, whatever it is, that we are seeing less and less of it. All right. Oh, here we go. All right. I'm going to get through as much of this as we can. So I'm going to start with Punk and Drublick, Arizona. I gave you a little bit of that. Hotel worked out just fine. A little partying in Gilbert there. But of course, the show itself. The venue was interesting. We're at this huge sports complex. And I'll tell you, as we parked and we're walking up, and that's the difference, is it's a little different in certain states, you know, and even in certain parts of California. But we're walking up in this convertible with these two, like, soccer moms. And like, I swear, they're both holding Starbucks cups and a couple kids in the back seat in a convertible. They're driving through the parking lot, and they suddenly stop. And they look at me, and they're like, "We love your hair." And I was like, "Hey, thanks." And I get that a lot. But there was a different feel to it. And I even said it to a couple people at the festival. I was like, you know, I get that a lot. And people are like, "Love your hair." But this was almost like they were in like a zoo. You know, I was like a exhibit to them. Not that it was like normal. They were just like, "We don't see that. Look at that." So that was a little bit of Arizona there. Nothing against there. It's great. Lots of great people there. The Venomous Pinks are there. You know, Paul from Let Me Down's like, there's plenty of great people there. But it is funny, the mix, you know. And this huge sports complex, which was very nice. I did very much like the setup. But the only problem with Arizona is, you know, obviously the heat. But there's not as many trees, which is something I immediately notice when we get into these. It's just a huge open field with no trees whatsoever. So there's not a lot of cover from the shade. Of course, what I would do is I was getting a little hot. I'm like, I'm just pop into the Punk Rock Saves Lives tent and be like, "Hi, Tina. Hi, Rob. I'm just going to stand here and get a little shade for a few minutes." So outside of that, it was really great. And it did cool down in the evening, which is nice. But when the sun was right on us, it was like, whew. In fact, during Last Gang, at one point, the sun just kind of came right over us. And I'm sweating. I'm like, "Oh, what is going on?" And sure enough, I look up, it's right there. And I just started dying. I was like, "I need some water here." And it wasn't even that hot. It's the direct sun, like, on you. There's like no clouds in the sky. Still well worth it. I will say, the Venomous Pinks, they killed it. Such a great performance at Punk and Drublick, Arizona. And they have a new track out. That's why I don't have a listening to this week, but the Pinks have a brand new track out, and brand new music video. Make sure you check that out. It's a great one. I know they're trying to get some extra radio play. I'm working on helping connect them with some of my friends, but producers that I used to work with when I was in the radio industry. So keep an eye out for that. Cannot recommend them enough and cannot give them enough props for how good that set was that they put up there. It was so nice to see them, especially in Arizona. I'd never seen them play kind of in their home state, not even home state, but like in Mesa, which is where they're from. So that was pretty great. The Bouncing Souls absolutely killed it. You know how sometimes, and maybe you can't relate to this, but you know how sometimes when you're at a show or whatever it is you're doing, and you have a kind of a moment where you're feeling it. You look around and you just, this is life. That was Bouncing Souls at Punk and Drublick, Arizona, in fact. And they played all the great ones. And then they hit a point where they're like, "All right, well, thank you, we're done." And you're like, "Are you done?" They're just kind of, and they come back and they full on into True Believers. And the whole crowd just lost it. Everybody's having a blast. Great pit etiquette. People going down, getting picked up. All good. Love the Souls, and they did a great job in Arizona for sure. And you got a shout out to not only Punk Rock Saves Lives. I was out there hanging out with Tina and Rob, picked up a new shirt, and then had to have them save a couple hats for me, the St. Paddy's Day hats. Maybe I'll wear it on the one of the upcoming episodes. But also Sidewalk Project was there, so it was nice to talk with some of the Sidewalk Project Phoenix crew out there, which was great. And then, which I really loved, and I hope she gets more of them, is Gabby had her own, Gabby Chaos from Chaos Merch, had her own booth set up. So I'm hoping she gets more of that out there too. So that was really cool to see. And I saw all the friends out there. Some friends from out of state that I really only knew from Facebook, ran into them, had a blast hanging out, enjoying music, tasting beer. The cool thing about Punk and Drublick is they didn't have it for Punk in the Park and Bruce Guskov, but they brought back the plastic tasting glasses, like the little glass that you walk around. I probably should have just had it sitting here because I've shown it to the video watchers. So that was nice to see. And one of the biggest highlights, I talk about him all the time, is I finally got to hang out in person with the amazingly talented Paul Smith of Zombie Teeth Clothing. So that was definitely a big, big highlight for me. He made it all, came out all the way from the UK. And so we're constantly joking. I was like, you had a much further trip than we did. And it's, I will tell you, it's funny watching it, a British guy get out into some Arizona heat. I think, and Paul can probably confirm this, I think he was dying at like 8 p.m. Where it was 80 degrees. And it was warm, but it's not that warm for us because we're kind of used to it. But when you come from England, where it's not warm right now, I think he was melting a little bit. But absolute pleasure to do that. And in fact, if you go on Instagram, you're going to see Paul took the time to shoot some photos with us. So check those out on the Instagram and on the Facebook. I don't know that they're in the... Maybe I'll share them on the Go Tell to the Wall page. But fantastic time. I cannot recommend Punk and Drublick enough. Just had a blast out there. Despite the mean ID checker at the weird bar there in Gilbert. So then, of course, I'm so spoiled, too, because at one point, like a bunch of the group we were with wanted to go run up to the front to see Authority Zero, you know. And for me, we were on the rail for Pink's, like right at the front. And then for Last Gang, you know, we were kind of in the middle, and Bouncing Souls kind of in the middle. But everyone wanted to go up front. And I love Authority Zero. They're great. Fantastic band. But I'm so spoiled because I had literally seen them a week before at the Pennywise show that I recapped a few weeks ago. So I was like, eh, I saw them a week ago. Like, so spoiled on that front. But then, of course, get back from Arizona. I'm exhausted. I definitely took a nap the Monday after getting back from Arizona there. And go through a normal week. And then last weekend, I told you, Daniel Tiger Live. And then last Sunday, straight up to Ventura for Punk and Drublick up there. I will say Arizona was a blast, but Ventura was definitely the larger larger amount of bands than Arizona, even than San Diego. San Diego was the night before. And so two stages out there in Ventura, absolute blast, doing the more beer tastings, which was great. Had a blast with that. Saw Last Gang again. They killed it. WFTW, that song live, unbelievable. So much fun. Saw it in Arizona and in Ventura. As we're out there in the green. The cool thing was, this is what always gets me. I'm like, you know, with the little tasting cups. It's like, no, I like that it's tasting cups because you can go around, but sometimes you want a bigger beer for a set because it's like a couple sips. And so you get your beer and then you go over to watch a band and you're like, well, now I have an empty cup. Just want, you know, and that's, you can just, you don't have to drink to watch a band, but, you know, you have a little beer. The cool thing about Ventura was for one of the stages, the beer, when it wasn't too crowded, I turned around like three times during Last Gang, and it was like a 5-10 foot walk, you know, or like 10 steps to a couple of the beer tents. So I was like, oh, back to it. So that was nice compared to a lot of the other brouhahas where the beer tents are just not near the stage. So you want to see the band. I mean, you can kind of see the band, but if you want to be near the stage, you got a far walk to get your beer and then get back. So that was, the setup was very nice. And the weather, you got to love Ventura weather. You know, Arizona quite hot, cools down at night, but Ventura's on the water, so it was almost like we were like prepared. It was like, all right, beanie, sweatshirt for when it starts to get real cold. Didn't get super cold, but definitely cooled off as the day went off, as the day went on, and then of course, Humongous, and I think I mentioned this prior to the Punk and Drublick's happening. Is I was planning to go to Arizona. That was first priority, Arizona. I'll see the Pinks and the Souls, new Punk Rock Saves Lives is going to be out there, among many other things. Wasn't going to go to Ventura originally, but they added Bad Cop, and the Bomb Pops. So we're like, oh, got to go to that one too. So we go over to the second stage, hit the rail for the Bomb Pops. They killed it. Actually had the pleasure of, and unrelated, little tidbit from Friday night at House of Blues, and I think I'm going to recap those two shows on the next episode. Yeah. Actually had the pleasure of meeting Remington, who is the new guitarist for the Bomb Pops. Super friendly, had a nice chat. It was great hanging for a few minutes. But we ended up right in front of Remington on the left side of the stage at the rail, and they destroyed it. I'm going to have photos. I got a bunch of photos of the Bomb Pops and Bad Cop, but a bunch of the Bomb Pops because Josh, one of my favorites, he was killing it. just did a fantastic job, as they always do. They always do. And the cool thing was they did do, we finally got a Polly song off the new album, which we hadn't been getting any of the new album songs that were Polly songs. So they did 13 Stories Down, which was great. Really enjoy that song. And then, of course, as they killed it, you know, we decided we were going to stay on the rail because Bad Cop was playing right after the Bomb Pops. So we kind of took shifts and I was like, all right, let's hit the Portos. Let's grab a beer, come back, hanging out on the rail. There are pictures of us at the rail already on the Instagram and stuff. So go check those out. But as I'm watching Bad Cop and cheering and everything, and we're on the left side still, and Stacey D's on that side, and those pictures will be going up at some point. Don't get too excited because they're just phone photos. I do have a nice phone camera, but I'm not out there. I'm not a good photographer like some people, you know, Paul Smith, for example. So they're just okay photos, but there will be some. I got some great ones of Josh playing the drums. That I can tell you. And then, of course, we're watching Bad Cop, and I feel kind of like a tap and a shove, and I'm like, what's going on? And I turn around, and Josh is just hanging out in the pit, so got to enjoy like half a Bad Cop with Josh, and we're literally like dancing at one point, having a blast. You know, Bad Cop finishes up, and it was great to see Josh for the first time since like November. He's a good friend, so that was a lot of fun. And then I will say there was a lot of demand for Punk Rock Saves Lives. I had so many different people coming up to me and asking me about Punk Rock Saves Lives, and unfortunately they didn't have a booth set up there, but hopefully we pushed a little bit of a little bit of donations toward the website because everyone was enjoying the my Punk Rock Saves Life shirt. Hung out with a couple of Maple Syndrome people. Shout out to Franny Garcia, who was out there. Just had an absolute blast. Couldn't ask for more, really. And in fact, Merch Slut was out there. They were killing it out there. There was another booth with some stickers that some guy gave me $1 to buy some of these, like three for $1. It's just all the friendliness, all the great stuff happening. But then, of course, there's some bad things that happen. So Pennywise is coming on. They're second to last band of the night, and it's dark at this point. And I love Pennywise, but I've often talked about how rough the pit can get and how there's certain fans that you're like, I don't really want to hang out around you right now. But I was feeling it in Ventura. I'll tell you, Wall fans, it was a perfect mix of adrenaline, making some nice connections that day, a little bit of beer. I found myself in not the super close pit, but the pit. I was like, I handed the clear backpack to my sis. I said, I'm going to go in there. And there's actually a little video of it. I had a blast. Didn't. And again, I wasn't in where anyone was throwing fists or anything. But sure enough, as I'm coming out of the pit, like it got quiet. So I'm looking around like, what's going on? And you hear Pennywise, they're kind of like, oh no, we got to stop. There's somebody hurt. And it was funny because if you're familiar with Fletcher, that's how you could tell, because Fletcher's kind of a wild man. And he goes, and someone's like, oh, is it really hurt? And then you hear Fletcher go, oh, yeah, no, there's somebody really hurt there. Like, and then sure enough, an ambulance starts coming into the pit. So unfortunately, I still don't know what happened. Somebody got hurt. Couldn't really find any information afterward, but unfortunately, somebody did get hurt. Hopefully, they're okay. These are just kind of things that happen at times. You know, unfortunately, but luckily I was not right near any of that madness. I decided to get in the pit for part of NoFX too, but I got, you know, I'm not a huge NoFX fan. I enjoy them, and you know what you're getting at their shows, but sometimes it's like, eh. So we left during NoFX. I was like, give me some In-N-Out. I gotta eat here. A little In-N-Out on the way home, and called that a night. Yeah, I'm gonna save these recaps. We're gonna talk about, because it's two other shows. And I found myself in the middle of the pit at the House of Blues, in fact, on Friday. But I'm going to save it because we're already over what we should be, and my voice is not 100%. Oh, and I will mention, I didn't, and Paul's going to listen, and then he's going to tell me what's going on. I meant to reach out to Paul or Gabby because there should have been a new Bases Against Racists released on Friday. I haven't seen the design yet, and unfortunately, once in a while, I'm privy to, you know, like a week before who the next one's going to be. So I'm not sure, but that should be dropping soon. And hopefully before next episode. So we'll do a little promoting on that. But make sure you keep an eye out and you're following Bases Against Racists on Instagram, because that design should be coming out. I have a feeling what's happening. Paul was traveling. Gabby's in the middle of chaos, like real chaos, with video shoots and everything else and playing. And then Lynn is like literally, she she was in Arizona last night. She got married a week ago. She was in Arizona. She was actually, Lynn was at Punk and Drug Lake Ventura. There's a nice picture because I didn't want to bother her because she had just gotten married. She had just played a show. And it was the same thing in Arizona. I was like trying not to bother Gabby and Andrea and Cassie too much. I'm like, no, you guys are so busy. Video shoots, concert, like merch setup. But Lynn was wearing the yellow Chaos merch beanie. And I was like, oh, Beanie Twins. So I had to do that. But that's probably why. I'm sure there's just some delays because everyone's so busy right now. But keep an eye out for the next Bases Against Racism. And we'll definitely point out who it is on the next episode. And we'll have these two concert recaps. And actually, next Sunday, we're going to have oh, man. I'm getting old, Wall fans. Getting old. That's part of it. My voice can't hang anymore. My joints can't hang anymore. I mean, it's all well worth it, but you start feeling it the next morning a little bit, you know what I mean? That's just how it is. All right, we're going to close it out, though. I'm exhausted, but we will be back next week. I can tell you that because we got to get some more episodes in here. But before we go, don't forget to follow us on all the social platforms, whatever your preferred platform is, facebook.com/gotellittothewall, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, my own personal Instagram, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean, and of course, SeanOrWorkLive.com, where you can find links to all those things, as well as our Patreon and our merch website right there on SeanOrWorkLive.com. All right, like I said, we will be back next week. Same wall place, same, probably earlier. We're late today because I was very tired. I was just slow moving. But same wall place, same wall time. This has been episode 74 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell Us the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.